Hanium, Number 7. Daniel 11 Unveiled, Prophetic Lines from 1989 to the Sunday Law.
We are working on bringing all the lines of Daniel 11 together in connection with the hidden history of verse 40 that represents 1989 unto the Sunday Law in the United States. Our calling as students of prophecy is to rightly divide the word of truth.
Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth.
2 Timothy 2 verse 15. Daniel chapter 11 can be divided into 10 prophetic lines. Verses 1 through 4 represent one prophetic line. Verse 5 through 9 represents a second line. Verse 10 represents a third line. Verses 11 and 12 represent the fourth line. The fifth line is verses 13 through 15. The sixth line is verses 16 through 22. The seventh line is verses 23 and 24. Verse 24 through verse 31 is the eighth line. Verse 31 through 40 is the ninth line. And the tenth and final line are verses 40 through 45. These 10 lines are to be brought together line upon line.
Whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breasts. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, "This is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing," yet they would not hear. But the word of the Lord was unto them precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, and there a little, that they might go and fall backward, and be broken, and snared, and taken. Isaiah 28 verses 9 to 13.
Each of the 10 prophetic lines are of course interrelated, but within each line a specific theme can be recognized. Though each line has a primary theme, the lines possess more than a singular testimony. I intend to identify each of the themes in the 10 lines.
First line.
Also, I in the first year of Darius the Mede, even I, stood to confirm and to strengthen him. And now will I shew thee the truth. Behold, there shall stand up yet three kings in Persia, and the fourth shall be far richer than they all. And by his strength through his riches he shall stir up all against the realm of Grecia. And a mighty king shall stand up, that shall rule with great dominion, and do according to his will. And when he shall stand up, his kingdom shall be broken, and shall be divided toward the four winds of heaven, and not to his posterity, nor according to his dominion which he ruled. For his kingdom shall be plucked up, even for others beside those. Daniel 11 verses 1 to 4.
The first year of Darius marks the end of 70 years, thus identifying a prophetic time of the end. By verse 3, Alexander the Great establishes his worldwide kingdom, and by verse 4, his kingdom was to be plucked up and divided unto the four winds. Using Darius as the time of the end in 1989 allows us to count the kings represented in verse 2. When Gabriel states in verse 1, "Also in the first year of Darius," he is following up on what he informed Daniel at the beginning of the vision, which began in chapter 10.
In the third year of Cyrus king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. And the thing was true, but the time appointed was long. And he understood the thing, and had understanding of the vision.
Daniel 10 verse 1. The waymark that represents a time of the end contains two symbols. The time of the end for Moses' prophetic line was Aaron's birth, followed 3 years later with the birth of Moses. Aaron and Moses are the twofold symbol of the time of the end in their history and typify the birth of John the Baptist and Jesus 6 months thereafter. The time of the end in 1798 marked the capture of the Pope of Rome, who thereafter died in captivity in 1799. From the first year of Darius the Mede unto the third year of Cyrus king of Persia, Darius and Cyrus represent the time of the end in 1989,
For all the prophets are speaking more about the last days than the days in which they lived. Now all these things happened unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come.
1 Corinthians 10 horas e 11.
Darius and Cyrus represent Ronald Reagan and George Bush Sr. in 1989. Both were presidents that year. Verse 1 of chapter 11 places the vision in the third year of Cyrus, which would represent George Bush the Sr., who followed Reagan as Cyrus followed Darius. Verse 2 states that three kings would yet stand up, and the fourth is far richer than them all. The final time of the end in chapter 11 begins in 1989 and identifies that after George Bush Sr. three kings would yet stand up, thus identifying the three presidents that followed Bush Sr. Those three kings were Bill Clinton, George Bush Jr., Barack Obama, and then the richest president, Donald Trump, would by his strength and through his riches he shall stir up all against the realm of Grecia. Verse 3 then introduces Alexander the Great, and therefore typifies the last leader of United Nations who unites with the papacy in the last days, but who like unto the papacy comes to his end. The United Nations is the seventh kingdom represented as 10 kings in Revelation 17, and the confederacy of 10 kings agree to give their seventh kingdom unto the papal beast for one symbolic hour.
And the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind, and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is Lord of lords, and King of kings, and they that are with him are called, and chosen, and faithful. Revelation 17 verses 12 to 14.
Those 10 kings are represented by verses 3 and 4, and also by the history of the rise and fall of Alexander the Great, who fulfilled the verses in the 4th century. Greece is the third kingdom of Bible prophecy and is a symbol of the dragon, a third of the threefold union of the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet. At the cross, the message King of the Jews was recorded in Hebrew, Latin, and Greek, representing the Jews, the Romans, and the rest of the multitudes from the other nations that would be in Jerusalem at the Passover. The Greeks represent the dragon, the Romans represent the beast, and the Jews were the false prophet. The first four verses of chapter 11 identify the end of the earthly dragon power, who commits fornication with the papal power as human probation closes. Verses 3 and 4 identify the final rise and fall of the last manifestation of an earthly dragon power. The verses overlay the last six verses, which identify the end of the beast who commits fornication with the kings of the earth. The beginning and ending of chapter 11 identify the history where the enemies of God come to their end with none to help. The first four verses aligned with the last six verses, and in so doing they bear the symbolism of the Ten Commandments with a table of the first four commandments and a table with the last six commandments, while also symbolizing a test with the number 10. The first four verses represent a beginning that illustrates the ending while anchoring the message as beginning at the time of the end in 1989. The verses represent 1989 until the close of human probation, thus summarizing the message of the last six verses, which are the increase of knowledge that was unsealed in 1989, which identify the events connected with the close of probation. The verses provide the prophetic anchor to recognize that beginning in 1989, there would be a total of eight presidents, with the eighth being of the seven previous presidents, thus tying the passage together with the enigma of the eighth being of the seven, which is a prophetic characteristic that is present truth in the last days. The theme which can be understood with the verses is the final destruction of the dragon power who commits fornication with the whore of Tyre. The whore commits fornication with all the kings of the earth, but just as ancient France became the firstborn of the Catholic Church when Clovis dedicated his throne to the papacy in 496, so too, the earth beast of the United States will also be the first of the kings to commit fornication with the whore at the Sunday law. Just as in the ending six verses, the beginning four verses identify and emphasize all three powers that lead the world to Armageddon. But the theme in the first four verses is the dragon power represented by Grecia and Alexander the Great.
Reagan began the process of eight presidents that has led now to the last of the eight presidents. The eighth president will erect the image of the beast and enforce a Sunday law in the United States, while also brokering an arrangement making him the head of the United Nations, that will at that very point enter into a worldwide church-state relationship under the guise of solving the increasing warfare of radical Islam. The transition of the United States, which is the earth beast of Revelation chapter 13 from being the sixth kingdom of Bible prophecy unto the head of the seventh kingdom of Bible prophecy, while consummating the unlawful relationship with the eighth kingdom of Bible prophecy, is illustrated from verse 1 identifying 1989 through the presidents that lead to the Sunday law in the United States, and immediately then identifies the mighty king standing up. That mighty king is Trump assuming control over the United Nations, which he is now in the process of dismantling in advance of his demands.
Second line.
Verse 5 through 9 represents the first mention and the point-by-point illustration of the battle between the kings of the North and South that the entire chapter employs as the primary prophetic backdrop. Verse 5 sets forth the theme of the passage.
And the king of the South shall be strong, and one of his princes, and he shall be strong above him, and have dominion. His dominion shall be a great dominion.
Daniel 11 verse 5. Ptolemy Isoder and Seleucus I Nicator are represented in the verse. Both were a fourth of the Diadochi, meaning successor, of Alexander's kingdom. Seleucus is the first king of the north in chapter 11, and in agreement with pagan Rome, papal Rome, and modern Rome, Seleucus was only established as the prophetic king of the north after three primary victories or pivotal events. His reclamation of Babylon in 312 BC, the Battle of Ipsus in 301 BC, and the Battle of Corapedium in 281 BC. These movements defeated his major rivals, expanded his empire, and solidified his dominance in the region. The second line begins with identifying the kings of the north and south in distinction with any other of the successors, Diadochi, of Alexander's divided kingdom. It begins with identifying that the king of the north is only empowered after three conquests. Then in the history of the struggle for dominion that unfolded after Alexander's death, in verses 6 through 9, identify a period that concludes with the overthrow of the king of the north by the king of the south. This is the first of three times in chapter 11 that the king of the south prevails over the king of the north. They provide three internal witnesses within the chapter that clearly establishes the waymarks of the history that leads to a king of the south defeating a king of the north.
And the king of the south shall be strong, and one of his princes, and he shall be strong above him, and have dominion. His dominion shall be a great dominion. And in the end of years they shall join themselves together. For the king's daughter of the south shall come to the king of the north to make an agreement. But she shall not retain the power of the arm, neither shall he stand, nor his arm. But she shall be given up, and they that brought her, and he that begot her, and he that strengthened her in these times. But out of a branch of her roots shall one stand up in his estate, which shall come with an army, and shall enter into the fortress of the king of the north, and shall deal against them, and shall prevail, and shall also carry captives into Egypt their gods, with their princes, and with their precious vessels of silver and of gold. And he shall continue more years than the king of the north. So the king of the south shall come into his kingdom, and shall return into his own land.
Daniel 11 verses 5 to 9. The historical fulfillment of the verses provides the template for the prophetic fulfillment of the 1260 years of papal rule identified in verses 31 through 40, and the prophetic template for the fulfillment of verse 11, that was first fulfilled in 217 BC at the Battle of Raphia. Those three witnesses identify the characteristics of the Ukrainian War where Putin, the final king of the South, will prevail over the proxy army of the papal king of the North. The theme of the second line of prophetic history is how the deadly wound is delivered to the papacy in 1798, as represented by verses 5 through 9 and the Battle of Raphia in verse 11. The king of the south, which is Egypt, is the dragon power.
Son of man, set thy face against Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and prophesy against him, and against all Egypt. Speak, and say, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against thee, Pharaoh king of Egypt, the great dragon that lieth in the midst of his rivers, which hath said, My river is mine own, and I have made it for myself. Ezekiel 29 verses 2 and 3.
The three illustrations of the king of the south prevailing over the king of the north in chapter 11 combine to identify the final fall of the king of the north in verse 45.
And he shall plant the tabernacles of his palace between the seas in the glorious holy mountain. Yet he shall come to his end, and none shall help him. Daniel 11 verse 45.
There are three lines in chapter 11 that illustrate a king of the south defeating a king of the north, but when the king of the north comes to his end with none to help it is not so apparent. But the book of Revelation identifies that it is the dragon power that brings her down by eating her flesh and burning her with fire. Once the dragon power is recognized from the book of Revelation, we can see the kings, who are also the dragon, and also the king of the south who are going to bring down the king of the north in verse 45. Three direct witnesses in the chapter that are all testifying to their perfect fulfillment as represented through the connection of the books of Daniel and Revelation. The modern papal king of the north comes to his end with none to help in verse 45, and the book of Revelation identifies how the papal power comes to his end at the hands of the dragon power.
And the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh, and burn her with fire. For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will, and to agree, and give their kingdom unto the beast, until the words of God shall be fulfilled.
Revelation 17 verses 16 and 17. The 10 kings burn the papal king of the north with fire and eat her flesh. The kings of the last days are the dragon power.
Kings and rulers and governors have placed upon themselves the brand of Antichrist and are represented as the dragon who goes to make war with the saints, with those who keep the commandments of God and who have the faith of Jesus. In their enmity against the people of God, they show themselves guilty also of the choice of Barabbas instead of Christ. Testimonies to Ministers, 38.
The 10 kings are the dragon power, who is also represented by the kingdom of Greece and Alexander. Those kings are southern kings, for they are represented by Pharaoh king of Egypt. They will eat her flesh, for they are also the prophetic dogs which the psalmist calls the assembly of the wicked.
For dogs have compassed me, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierce my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones, they look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them, and cast lots upon my vesture. Psalms 22 verses 16 to 18.
The papacy is the king of the north in verse 45, and the papacy is represented by Jezebel in the church of Thyatira.
Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. Revelation 2 verses 20 to 22.
Jezebel's judgment is accomplished when she is eaten by dogs.
And of Jezebel also spake the Lord, saying, The dog shall eat Jezebel by the wall of Jezreel. 1 Kings 21 verse 23.
The dogs are pagan Rome, the dragon power, for it was pagan Rome that crucified Christ.
And the sufferings of Christ upon the cross prophecy was fulfilled. Centuries before the crucifixion, the Savior had foretold the treatment he was to receive. He said, Dogs have compassed me, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me, they pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones, they look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them, and cast lots upon my vesture. Psalm 22 verses 16 to 18. The prophecy concerning his garments was carried out without counsel or interference from the friends or the enemies of the crucified one. To the soldiers who had placed him upon the cross, his clothing was given. Christ heard the men's contention as they parted the garments among them. His tunic was woven throughout without seam, and they said, "Let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be." The Desire of Ages, 746.
The 10 kings, who are the dogs, who are the assembly of the wicked, who are Greece and Egypt, will also to burn the whore with fire.
And the daughter of any priest, if she profane herself by playing the whore, she profaneth her father. She shall be burnt with fire. Leviticus 21 verse 9.
The 10 kings burn the whore with fire, for she professes to be a priestess, but is a whore.
And it shall come to pass in that day, that Tyre shall be forgotten 70 years, according to the days of one king. After the end of 70 years shall Tyre sing as an harlot. Take an harp, go about the city, thou harlot that hast been forgotten. Make sweet melody, sing many songs, that thou mayest be remembered. And it shall come to pass after the end of 70 years that the Lord will visit Tyre, and she shall turn to her hire, and shall commit fornication with all the kingdoms of the world upon the face of the earth. Isaiah 23 verses 15 to 17.
In verses 5 through 9, and verses 31 through 40, we find witness to the papacy coming to its end at the hands of the dragon power. This principle is also currently being fulfilled in the Ukrainian war. These three witnesses inform us that when the king of the north comes to his end with none to help in verse 45, the dragon will eat her flesh and burn her with fire. Upon three witnesses, the motivation for the dragon's action will include a broken treaty. In verses 5 through 9, the Second Syrian War ended with a treaty in 253 BC. The war had started in 260 BC, and 7 years into the Second Syrian War, a peace treaty was accomplished by the king of the south giving a daughter to the king of the north so he could marry the king of the south's daughter and bring about peace through the marriage alliance. 7 years after the marriage in 246 BC, the king of the north set aside the southern bride and restored his original wife, who he had set aside when he married the Egyptian princess. The motivation for the king of the south to invade the northern kingdom and capture the northern king was a broken treaty. The broken treaty typified the broken treaty of Tolentino in 1797 that provided Napoleon with the motivation to take the pope captive in 1798, as Ptolemy had done to Seleucus in 246 BC. When Ptolemy III returned to Egypt from his victory over the northern Seleucid Empire of Seleucus II, he brought so many treasures back to Egypt that the Egyptians gave the title of Euergetes, meaning benefactor, to Ptolemy III for restoring their captive gods after many years.
But out of a branch of her roots shall one stand up in his estate, which shall come with an army, and shall enter into the fortress of the king of the north, and shall deal against them, and shall prevail, and shall also carry captives into Egypt their gods, with their princes, and with their precious vessels of silver and of gold. And he shall continue more years than the king of the north. Daniel 11 verses 7 and 8.
When Napoleon took the pope captive in 1798, he robbed the Vatican treasures and brought them back to France, as typified by Ptolemy III, who took treasures, and also Seleucus II back to Egypt, where Seleucus II died falling from a horse. This typified Napoleon removing the papacy from the beast in 1798 and the death of the pope in 1799. The papacy in Revelation 17 is the woman who rides upon the beast, and Seleucus' defeat, captivity, and subsequent death falling from a horse typifies Napoleon removing the civil authority of the papacy, represented as a beast in Revelation 17.
So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having 7 heads and 10 horns. And the angel said unto me, "Wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman, and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath the 7 heads and 10 horns. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city, which reigneth over the kings of the earth.
Revelation 17 verses 3 and 7, 18. Verse 5 through 9 introduces the warfare between the king of the north and south in chapter 11. Verse 5 provides the anchor to Rome as the king of the north, for it identifies that the king of the north would conquer three geographical areas before it ruled supremely. The verses provide the prophetic structure that sets forth a period when the king of the north rules but comes to its end. This is the very premise and promise of chapter 11. The theme of the line is the deadly wound of the papal king of the north, or as verse 45 states, he comes to his end with none to help. This truth is present truth in the last days. We will continue in the next article.